gentlemen, good morning. It is Think and Grow Rich Thursday, May 31st, 2012. My name is Paul Hutchings, dialing in all the way from beautiful, sunny, believe it or not, southeast Idaho. Excited to be here on the line. Man, I love life. Don't you? Isn't it wonderful? I love going to bed a little bit tired, you know, after a long day's work like I did last night, and just ready to close my eyes and get some sleep. A little bit tired, had a great day, productive, and I love waking up this morning, coming into my office, opening my eyes, thinking about the possibilities of life, thinking about the possibilities of the day, thinking about how I might be able to contribute to people in a positive way. And then I started thinking about, oh my gosh, we have between 100 and 150 people all over the United States of America who are getting up each weekday morning, Monday through Friday, and coming on a phone call, all fired up, all excited, all energetic, all enthused about life, all passionate about learning new information that they can apply, all just anxious to contribute to one another and help each other grow as entrepreneurs and learn how to impact this world in a more positive way. And then I got even more excited when I got on the phone and I started hearing all of this excitement, you know, Todd and Doc and Liz and Rick, I can go on and on, all the people that were just, hey, good morning, it's a great day to be alive. So other than that, I can't think of another reason to be excited, except for the fact that we're going to continue our study of the book Think and Grow Rich, which, by the way, was written by Dr. Napoleon Hill, who spent 20 years of his life studying 25,000 people, 500 of them the most successful, financially wealthy people on the planet. And he organized and categorized the commonalities that those wealthy people had and put them into a book, a success philosophy called Think and Grow Rich. And we are in chapter 2, which is entitled Desire, the Starting Point of All Achievement. We've covered the first part of it yesterday. We heard some great stories, and we're going to be inspired today, I have a feeling. So let me jump into the content, and then I'm anxious to hear from you because this is a mastermind call. We have a little bit of content. We are instructed by Dr. Hill, and then we mastermind and share with each other and help each other grow. So here we go. Hold on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen. You may as well know also that every great leader from the dawn of civilization down to the present was a dreamer. Christianity is the greatest potential power in the world today because its founder was an intense dreamer who had the vision and the imagination to see realities in their mental and spiritual form before they had been transmuted into physical form. If you do not see great riches in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank balance. Never in the history of America has there been so great an opportunity for practical dreamers as now exists. The 6-year economic collapse has reduced all men substantially to the same level. A new race is about to be run. The stakes represent huge fortunes which will be accumulated within the next 10 years. The rules of the race have changed because we now live in a changed world that definitely favors the masses, those who had but little or no opportunity to win under the conditions existing during the Depression when fear paralyzed growth and development. We who are in this race for riches should be encouraged to know that this changed world in which we live is demanding new ideas, new ways of doing things, new leaders, new inventions, new methods of teaching, new methods of marketing, new books, new literature, new features for the radio, new ideas for moving pictures. Back of all this demand for new and better things, there is one quality which one must possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose. The knowledge of what one wants and a burning desire to possess it. The business depression marked the death of one age and the birth of another. This changed world requires practical dreamers who can and will put their dreams into action. The practical dreamers have always been and always will be the pattern makers of civilization. We who desire to accumulate riches should remember the real leaders of the world always have been men who harnessed and put into practical use the intangible, unseen forces of unborn opportunity and have converted those forces or impulses of thought into skyscrapers, cities, factories, airplanes, automobiles, and every form of convenience that makes life more pleasant. Tolerance and an open mind are practical necessities of the dreamer today. Those who are afraid of new ideas are doomed before they start. Never has there been a time more favorable to pioneers than the present. True, there is no wild and woolly West to be conquered, as in the days of the covered wagon, but there is a vast business, financial, and industrial world to be remolded and redirected along new and better lines. In planning to acquire your share of riches, let no one influence you to scorn the dreamer. To win the big stakes in this changed world, you must catch the spirit of the great pioneers of the past, whose dreams have given to civilization all that it has of value. The spirit which serves as the lifeblood of our own country, your opportunity and mine, to develop and market our talents. Let us not forget, Columbus dreamed of an unknown world, staked his life on the existence of such a world, and discovered it. Copernicus, the great astronomer, dreamed of a multiplicity of worlds and revealed them. No one denounced him as impractical after he had triumphed. Instead, the world worshipped at his shrine, thus proving once more that success requires no apologies, failure permits no alibis. If the thing you wish to do is right and you believe in it, go ahead and do it. Put your dream across and never mind what they say. If you meet with temporary defeat, for they, perhaps, do not know that every failure brings with it the seed of an equivalent success. Henry Ford, poor and uneducated, dreamed of a horseless carriage, went to work with what tools he possessed without waiting for opportunity to favor him, and now evidence of his dream belts the entire earth. He has put more wheels into operation than any man who ever lived because he was not afraid to back his dreams. Thomas Edison dreamed of a lamp that could be operated by electricity, began where he stood to put his dream into action, and despite more than 10,000 failures, he stood by that dream until he made it a physical reality. Practical dreamers do not quit. Whelan dreamed of a chain of cigar stores, transformed his dream into action, and now the United Cigar Stores occupy the best corners in America. Lincoln dreamed of freedom for the slaves, put his dream into action, and barely missed living to see a united North and South translate his dream into reality. The Wright brothers dreamed of a machine that would fly through the air. Now one may see evidence all over the world that they dreamed soundly. Marconi dreamed of a system for harnessing the intangible forces of the ether. Evidence that he did not dream in vain may be found in every wireless and radio in the world. Moreover, Marconi's dream brought the humblest cabin and the most stately manor house side by side. It made the people of every nation on earth backdoor neighbors. It gave the President of the United States a medium by which he may talk to all the people of America at one time and on short notice. It may interest you to know that Marconi's friends had him taken into custody and examined in a psychopathic hospital when he announced he had discovered a principle through which he could send messages through the air without the aid of wires or other direct physical means of communication. The dreamers of today fare better. The world has become accustomed to new discoveries. Nay, it has shown a willingness to reward the dreamer who gives the world a new idea. The greatest achievement was at first and for a time, but a dream. The oak sleeps in the acorn, the bird waits in the egg, and in the highest vision of the soul, a waking angel stirs. Dreams are the seedlings of reality. Awake, arise, and assert yourself, you dreamers of the world. Your star is now in the ascendancy. The World Depression brought the opportunity you have been waiting for. It taught people humility, tolerance, and open-mindedness. The world is filled with an abundance of opportunity, which the dreamers of the past never knew. A burning desire to be and to do is the starting point from which the dreamer must take off. Dreams are not born of indifference, laziness, or lack of ambition. The world no longer scoffs at the dreamer nor calls him impractical. If you think it does, take a trip to Tennessee and witness what a dreamer president has done in the way of harnessing and using the great water power of America. A score of years ago, such a dream would have seemed like madness. You have been disappointed. You have undergone defeat during the Depression. You have felt the great heart within you crushed until it bled. Take courage, for these experiences have tempered the spiritual metal of which you are made. They are assets of incomparable value. Remember, too, that all who succeed in life get off to a bad start and pass through many heartbreaking struggles before they arrive. The turning point in the lives of those who succeed usually comes at the moment of some crisis through which they are introduced to their other selves. John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, which is among the finest of all English literature, after he had been confined in prison and sorely punished because of his views on the subject of religion. O. Henry discovered the genius which slept within his brain after he had met with great misfortune and was confined in a prison cell in Columbus, Ohio. Being forced through misfortune to become acquainted with his other self and to use his imagination, he discovered himself to be a great author instead of a miserable criminal and outcast. Strange and varied are the ways of life, and stranger still are the ways of infinite intelligence through which men are sometimes forced to undergo all sorts of punishment before discovering their own brains and their own capacity to create useful ideas through imagination. Edison, the world's greatest inventor and scientist, was a tramp telegraph operator. He failed innumerable times before he was driven, finally, to the discovery of the genius which slept within his brain. Charles Dickens began by pasting labels on blacking pots. The tragedy of his first love penetrated the depths of his soul and converted him into one of the world's truly great authors. That tragedy produced first David Copperfield, then a succession of other works that made this a richer and better world for all who read his books. Disappointment over love affairs generally has the effect of driving men to drink and women to ruin, and this because most people never learn the art of transmuting their strongest emotions into dreams of a constructive nature. Helen Keller became deaf, dumb, and blind shortly after birth. Despite her greatest misfortune, she has written her name indelibly in the pages of history of the great. Her entire life has served as evidence that no one is ever defeated until defeat has been accepted as a reality. Robert Burns was an illiterate country lad. He was cursed by poverty and grew up to be a drunkard in the bargain. The world was made better for his having lived, because he clothed beautiful thoughts in poetry and thereby plucked a thorn and planted a rose in its place. Booker T. Washington was born in slavery, handicapped by race and color. Because he was tolerant, had an open mind at all times on all subjects, and was a dreamer, he left his impress for good on an entire race. Beethoven was deaf, Milton was blind, but their names will last as long as time endures because they dreamed and translated their dreams into organized thought. Before passing to the next chapter, kindle anew in your mind the fire of hope, faith, courage, and tolerance. If you have these states of mind and a working knowledge of the principles described, all else that you need will come to you when you are ready for it. Let Emerson state the thought in these words: every proverb, every book, every byword that belongs to thee for aid and comfort shall surely come home through open or winding passages. Every friend whom not thy fantastic will, but the great and tender soul in thee craveth, shall lock thee in his embrace. There is a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it. No one is ready for a thing until he believes he can acquire it. The state of mind must be belief, not mere hope or wish. Open-mindedness is essential for belief. Closed minds do not inspire faith, courage, and belief. Remember, no more effort is required to aim high in life, to demand abundance and prosperity, than is required to accept misery and poverty. A great poet has correctly stated this universal truth through these lines: I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. If you're not inspired, my friend, I don't know what else can inspire you, because I am excited and enthused and lifted up by all of these examples of the great men and women of our past who have set the example that dreams can and do come true, and that we must be dreamers. For what hope is there left in the world and in our lives if we do not dream, and we do not dream greatly? And I'm excited that we have a line full of dreamers. Isn't it amazing that we can come together on a daily basis and help each other and encourage each other and mastermind on how better to achieve our dreams? So I'm going to end the content there, the first part of the call. Tomorrow we're going to hear a story that's literally miraculous regarding Napoleon Hill, Dr. Napoleon Hill, and his very own son. So look forward to that. But let me open up the lines and let us have our discussion. Star 6 to unmute your line. Anything touch you today or impress you from the content we went through?
Hi, Paul. This is Frank from Delaware.
Frank, good morning.
How are you today?
Excellent, my friend. Thanks for asking.
That was an inspiring chapter, and I'm telling you, it's just amazing that I can get on this call every day and set my thoughts for the day. And I know that there's somebody sitting out there that says, you know, I'm having trouble redirecting my thoughts and keeping them positive, and I keep going back to the negative. But don't worry, if you want to change your life, you could do it. All that you have to do is do the little things that it takes to redirect our thoughts. If you have to write notes to yourself and put it in the mirror, this is for your life. Do that. Whatever it takes to redirect your thoughts to a positive place, then the universe will start opening itself up to us, and it'll start to come into us that way. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Great, wise words there, my friend. Appreciate you being on the line and sharing.
Mr. Jeans!
Hey, good morning, Mr. Marty Kuzel.
How are you, sir?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, since I've been on the call, I recently been just sitting back in my chair in the morning, getting ready for the call, because I get so excited from what I'm going to hear. And I just open my arms to the ceiling, and I just take all my energy and just, good morning, everybody. It's going to be a beautiful day. Oh, it feels so good to say that as I'm looking up at the heavens. And I know it's meant for me and everybody else. But I just wanted to make a few comments. You know, I was reluctant to get on these calls in the beginning. And there's a passage here that really...
Hey, Marty, are we on speakerphone? I'm having a hard time.
Okay, how's that?
Sure,
better?
There's probably a lot of people. Yeah, that's much better. Thank
okay.
you.
You know, there's a passage that really got to me towards the end. And it said, no one is ready for a thing until he believes he acquire it, but the state of mind must be belief, open-mindedness is essential for belief. And on my last few adventures, you know, I thought I was ready for it. But until my mentor just said, hey, Marty, you need to get on these calls. And finally he said, because he knew what kind of leader we all have in us. And to bring it out of me, he finally said, you know, Marty, if you don't get on the calls, I'm not going to work with you. Because if you don't get on the calls, I can't open up your mind and take you to the next level where you want to be. I got on the calls, and let me tell you, my mind just opened up. And a whole set of doors and opportunity opened up for me. And I wouldn't be in the business or in the situation where I am today if it wasn't for my mentor, Todd Young, forcing me to get on the call to learn and open up on my mind. But more importantly, for you to run any calls. And everybody who gets on the phone and gives me their perspective every day of different things, might be someone new, might be someone with a lot of experience like Dot Fran or yourself, but every tidbit that is taken over the phone, whether it helps you or not, you may not realize that it helps you today, but it may help you tomorrow. And I'm learning every day, whether I realize it or not, and I just want to make a comment to everybody. Keep them comments coming. I appreciate them so much. I'm learning so much. I am on my way, and I can visualize where I want to be, but now I have the mindset to get me there like I didn't have before. So I just wanted to thank everybody for what you're bringing to the table. And for the new people on the phone, don't be afraid, because what you bring to the table may help somebody else. Get up, speak your mind, because this is how we know where you are with your mindset, and we're able to help you. And that's what it's all about, helping people raise their consciousness, get to the next level, help you climb the ladder of levels and get up to where you need to be, to the level that you want to be successful. So I want to thank everybody who helps me every day. Paul, thank you. Back to you.
Marty, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Really, really, truly appreciate that. Yeah, who's that?
Yeah, this is Dale. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, listen, Paul, second time I heard you. Thank you very much. I'm on the road right now, but I listened to you yesterday for the first time, and you talked about that burning desire, and I asked, how can you get that without having the job that you want to quit and burn all the bridges behind you? And I found my answer, and I just want to share it with you this morning, because the answer is the love of God, because I looked up some statistics yesterday about how many people are blind, crippled, bedridden, and how many people die in their sleep. And this morning, I wasn't one of them. That's enough to burn that fire within me to get up and change the world. You know? I mean, I can walk, I can talk, I can see. My God loves me. Okay? It's early morning, and I'm up, and I'm on the road. So I just wanted to share that with the people who are listening, because that is a very phenomenal feeling, you know, and you can have that every morning, no matter what your money situation is, no matter what your situation is. If you wake up, you can see, you can talk, you can hear, you can walk, your God loves you. That's enough to succeed.
You're a brilliant man. Dale, is that your name? D-A-L-E?
Yeah.
Dale, thank you.
D-A-R-Y-L-E.
Oh, Daryl. Oh, okay, great. Thank you so much for sharing that.
A couple nights ago.
Yep, I remember, Daryl. And it's interesting you mention that, because this morning when I mentioned that I went to bed a little bit tired last night. This morning when my eyes open, I'm laying in my bed, my eyes open, and I say to myself, did I wake up on this earth again? Man, that's awesome. I'm so excited to be here. So, yeah, just the fact that we're here, man, it's you got it, man. Love it. Thank you for sharing that. Star 6, who's next? And press star 6 to mute your line out if you have already spoken, so we can keep the lines clean, if you would, please.
Paul, Todd from Baltimore.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning to everybody in my Think and Grow Rich family. Stop daydreaming. I remember hearing that so clearly by my teachers. Something that, I don't mention a lot of is I got in trouble so much as a kid for daydreaming when I was in nursery school, first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way through high school. Many, many years I was a daydreamer. Stop letting your mind wander. I used to have this teacher that took a switch that would smack us with it if she saw us daydreaming. We got punished for daydreaming as children, and that had it in such an impactful mind on our society. But it's that daydreaming that got men to get into ships on a flat earth that might fall over the edge to come over to this country. Daydreaming and what we are as practitioners on this call, society's got punished for this. And this country is going through phases where we had the Depression, where people stopped dreaming because of what fear did to people. This is the United States of dreamers, because it was against the law to dream in other countries, because if you did, you got killed for it. Tyrannical societies and governments keep people from dreaming, and it's our responsibility to not let that happen. You know, Marty is somebody that is a man that grabs my heart on a daily basis, because it is he that has got himself on this call. It was not I. A growing and changing mindset is the shortcut to success. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Todd. Wow, great, great thoughts. A growing and changing mindset is the shortcut to success. You know, you reminded me of... Oh, go ahead. Is that Rick?
My friends, wonderful friends on the Think and Grow Rich call. Paul Hutchins, how are you this morning, my friend?
I am excellent, Rick. How are you?
Just getting fired up. Instead of a call, you know, think about Napoleon Hill, and he's a very humble man. You know, understand when he was out there doing this research, he was working for the richest man at the time, Andrew Carnegie, and realized that he wasn't getting compensated for this research he was doing. His expenses were paid, and so the people around him were just, hey, you're an idiot. You're a fool. We have to live with those kind of things every single day. People scorning him, laughing at him all day long. And you know that one of his greatest afflictions, according to Napoleon Hill, was the loss of his mother, his biological mother. And interestingly enough, It was his stepmom and Andrew Carnegie who believed in him, but kept him going. You're going to be the richest Hill of the entire Hill family. And she kept pushing him. 25 years, people. 25 years without compensation. That's incredible. I would think Napoleon Hill is one of the most humble men I ever came across. And he still lives today. Long live Napoleon. Man, it's the dreamers that make the world worth living in. The dreamers makes the world worth living in. And I'm thankful to all the dreamers today and all the dreamers of the past. I give big gratitude to those dreamers. I'm a dreamer. I love to dream. A practical dreamer. I dream all day long. I dream everybody will take possession of their own mind and find out what riches and beauty lies within. You know, transcend mediocrity. Yep. I believe survival is for the brutes. That's my belief. Are you a brute? You either can live or you can go out and survive. I say live today, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the verities and reality of your existence, the bliss of growth we're doing this morning, the glory in the action we take every single day. For yesterday is but a dream and tomorrow only a vision. So if you live today your best day, you know what will happen to yesterday? yesterday to be a dream of happiness and tomorrow the vision of hope. To look to this day. This day, such as the salutation of the dawn, 2500 BC, 2500 years before Christ, Kalidasa wrote this. I'll make it my own. I see this every single morning. I live today. I'm asking you to do the same. Today, the only day that matters. You can't live in yesterday. You can't live in tomorrow. Those are two eternities. Neither you nor I can live it. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You don't wait for these financial riches to enjoy life today. Take your eye off yourself. Lift somebody up and you'll be amazing how light you can fly. Back to you, Paul.
Rick Martin, love you, your passion, and your thoughts as always. Thank you so much for sharing. It's the dreamers that make the world worth living in. Absolutely. Star 6 is next.
Good morning, guys. It's Doc Fran from beautiful Palm City, Florida.
Good morning, Doc. You sound great.
I am great. I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I was just so excited I couldn't sleep. And just watching all of these things unfold and seeing all of the pieces of this great mosaic that forms our interlocked lives coming together in such a wonderful way and forming such a beautiful picture. And, you know, that's really what I want to focus on this morning is the ability to see things in your mind, the imagination that Napoleon Hill talks about through this chapter. And, you know, we all know intellectually, we mouth the words that thoughts become things. But he has a single sentence in here that starts the part of the chapter that we focused on this morning that is really the key chapter. If you have a highlighter or a pencil and you don't mind, highlight the sentence and repeat it to yourself on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, until you truly incorporate this reality. That sentence is on page 29 in my book. It says, if you do not see great riches in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank balance. And there is so much power in that single sentence that might just be read and discarded by a mind that doesn't understand the power of that concept. And that is, this is how he subtly leaves us clues at every turn in the book to bring home to people as they find their key to consciousness, as they find that clue that moves them, as they find that phrase that locks in for them the awareness and the power of the concept that Napoleon is putting forth in this entire book. And when you take that sentence and you back it up with the sentence on page 36 that says there is a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it. No one is ready for a thing until he believes he can acquire it. So these are the two things, folks. We have to be able to visualize. We have to be able to dream. We have to be ready to receive it. We create exactly the condition we are in every minute of every day to reinforce the correctness of our about who we are, what we are, and what we deserve. And if you truly deserve, if you truly wish for greater abundance in any area of your life, the achievement of that abundance starts with the ability to dream it as real, to believe it as real, and then finally to have it as real. One of the things that struck me this morning, too, is that, you know, Napoleon wrote this book at a time in history which was one of the darkest times in American economic history up to that point, the Great Depression. And many of us on the phone that are in my age group and above, and people, you know, we're all living through a period of the most economic turmoil that's occurred in our personal lifetimes. And I often describe myself as living in a in an exclusive gated community of formerly affluent people, because the economic changes from 2007 on have leveled the playing field again. So as I was hearing Paul read Napoleon Hill's words, I was reflecting on the fact that we are, in fact, in a repeat cycle in history. And where there is downturn, we are literally living in a time where the greatest economic advantages and opportunities literally exist before each and every one of us. This is the fertile time. We're all involved in alternative income source development. We're all involved in some type of a self-directed home-based business. And folks, there is nothing greater than that we can do than to share your opportunity with people who desperately need it. And that describes a lot of people out there. Millions of people need what you have to offer them. So visualize yourself as successfully doing that. Have the courage to take the actions necessary to open your mouth and share your blessing with those people that you have contact with, and you too will have what you seek. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Doc. As always, very well said, inspirational, so true. Your comments and let's see, who was it that mentioned there is a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it, along with your thought. Someone else mentioned that earlier, reminded me of a line from Science of Getting Rich: all things are unto them that believe and unto them only. Just incredibly powerful line. If you do not see great riches in your imagination, you'll never see them in your bank balance. Wow. Star 6, who's next?
Well, it's Doc Fran again. And
yes.
That line, you know, if people have a problem, you know, visualizing, we may be getting glimpses of it and then immediately discard it because of some self-hypnotic limiting self-belief. I love coming to that awareness. There is a tool that I've been using for several months called Concept for Freedom. And it's available on the internet to anybody. It is www.concept4freedom.com. And what this is, if you've ever done treasure mapping or dream boarding, which were attempts in the pre-electronic era. My God, I've lived through the pre-electronic era to the electronic era. This is wonderful. And they were ways that you could help stimulate your ability to visualize things by creating and mocking them up in a real form. You would see pictures of things that you desired: cars, boats, planes, houses, trips, people. And you would take those pictures and you would put them on a board, and you would look at that board every day. And doing that is a form of imprinting yourself, your subconscious. And if you did that, and if you exercised the application of that exercise, which is really getting into feeling how it would be, how it would feel to you to actually have those objects of your desire in their physical forms, when you master that ability to literally feel yourself accomplishing and having as already there those things you desire, that's where the magic happens. Well, that magic happens when you imprint that into your subconscious. We've had a lot of training in all of these books that our subconscious doesn't know the difference between, quote, reality and imagination as its input. So, with this concept for freedom, you can literally create a video of your dreams. And that's how we think. We think in mental image pictures. We think in mental image movies. That's what dreams are. We don't, you know, you don't dream in static photographs moving from one frame to the next. We dream in dynamic mental image pictures. And so if you make this little movie, your dreamscape is literally what it's called on this website, you can put in there any image that you want, you can put in any affirmation that you want, and you can set it to any stirring music that you want. And music is a real key, folks. Have you ever wondered why we have soundtracks on every movie, where whole industries, whole fortunes have been made by people writing soundtracks as the backdrop for movies? The sound is a lot of times imperceptible or subliminal to us, but it sets the tone for the scene that we're watching unfold in front of us. So anyway, the combination of these things gives you a literal visual dream that you can look at every day in your meditation phase, and it will imprint your subconscious for you. To you, Paul.
Great suggestions. Great stuff.
Hey, Paul.
That site is down. I'll post it in the Facebook group, but for some reason it's down right now. Doc, you may have overloaded their site by sharing it with so many people, but I'll post this in the Facebook group. We are thinkinggrowrich.com. Yeah, who is that? Who is next?
This is Marty again. I just want to make another quick comment, if I may. I was the one earlier that you said you couldn't remember who had mentioned that line.
Yes.
That was myself, and it actually happened to me, because although in my other past endeavors, I was so wishing and so ready, I thought I was, and I had somebody come up to me and says, Marty, what are you doing again? You're doing this again after everything you've done? You know, what makes this different? And I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and I said, you know, if you stop dreaming, you're done. Don't ever stop following your dream. Until I got on these calls and was able to open up my mind and put my arms around the concept and just start bringing everything in, it just all opened up to me. So I was ready. I was wishing, but I didn't know where to go until I got on these calls and started believing. My mind opened up. That's how everything started coming to me. And so that's why I wanted to reiterate that and just make sure I got my point across. Get on these calls. It'll open up your mind. Just let everything flow in. Just take it in, and eventually it'll open up your mind to get you where you need to be. So thanks again, Paul.
Thank you, Marty. I love it, and you reminded me of some things that Todd said earlier that I want to repeat because they illustrate there's a word that stuck out to me in this chapter, and Todd said, and I'm paraphrasing parts, he had a bunch of good stuff, but I just picked a few pieces. He said, stop daydreaming. That's what they say. They punish you with a switch if they catch you daydreaming. It was dreaming that caused men to get into a ship and sail out onto the ocean of a flat earth with the risk of falling over the edge. This is the United States of dreamers. But the word they, stop dreaming, that's what they say. They punish you with a switch if they catch you daydreaming. When somebody says to you, Marty, like the guy just said, what are you doing now, Marty? Oh, you're doing one of those things again? Well, that guy just put himself in the they category, and we know who they are. They are the people who are broke. They are the people who are going to a job they don't like. They are the people who have given up on thinking and dreaming and planning and trying to figure out ways to make their life better and make the lives of other people better. So do we want to listen to what they say? No. Remember that word they, folks, and remember when you're listening to people what category they fall into. Star 6, who's next?
Paul,
there's a lot of they's in our lives, and we have to learn to listen to our brains. So it might take a lot of work, but let's keep on track.
Absolutely. Was that Todd there?
That was Paul. You know, I have a new name for Doc Fran. I hope he doesn't mind me saying it on this call, but he now to me is the Oracle. I can think of no other word. But when I meet they, I say to myself, there, but by the grace of God, go I. Back to you.
Say that one more time. When you meet they, you say what?
There, but by the grace of God, go I.
There, by the grace of God, go I.
And, you know, I didn't understand what that meant because I heard that statement so many years ago. And it really wasn't until my very, very religious and spiritual combined old mentor got up on stage and defined that statement, because I just didn't understand it. And, you know, it was really just simple. Thank God that that person is not you. When you see people in poverty that don't do anything about their poverty, there, but by the grace of God, go I. Thank God that that's not you. When you see somebody that stopped dreaming, there, but by the grace of God, go I. Thank God that that's not you. When you see people that are in situations that will not get up and do something about it, when you meet people that are unwilling to change their mindset and even just to get on this call and they refuse it, just say to yourself, there, but by the grace of God, go I. And thank God that that person is not you. Back to you.
I love that. Very powerful. And I also love the new name for Doc Fran, the Oracle.
And you know, Paul, I mean, to keep going on what Todd said, when you meet people like that, like the gentleman I was sitting to yesterday, he was wishing, well, I'm wishing my wife we could do this. I wish it, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, I used to be like that until I opened up my mind. I actually started feeling sorry for the guy because he's missing out on so much of the world, so much on life, because his mind is so closed. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, so true. And you know, I was talking to Doc Fran yesterday. I have a lady that has been in my business for a year now. She has never sponsored a single soul, and she's been getting a check for between $60 and $70 a month. Never sponsored anybody, keep in mind. And she sends me a message, you know, I know she didn't place an order this, but yeah, I'm giving it up. I've been in this thing for a year and haven't turned a profit yet. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, you know, getting a check, free product, never sponsored a single soul. I'm like, what? You know, we get paid to produce. That's what we get paid for. Anyway, just another great example. My heart went out to her because she was telling me that, you know, my unemployment check's running out and I can't find a job and I'm, you know, this business is not turning a profit for me. And just her thought process was just saddening to me. And Marty and Todd just helped me to just barely just helped me have the right mindset on how to view that. There, by the grace of God, go I. Thank goodness that I'm not in that mindset. Wish I could have helped her, tried to help her, but fortunately, people have to want to help themselves, and that's just the way it is. So, Star 6, who's next?
Yeah, and you know, Paul, unfortunately, people like that, they just don't realize the opportunity that's sitting right in front of them. It's so close. They can't even see it. Maybe they need to step back and say, oh, my God, I was right there and couldn't even see it. You know, and her mind is so closed, I don't know if anybody can help her at this time. All we can do is maybe try to make her see the light. Hey, there's an opportunity here. You know, take another – just don't be so hasty. Step back and look where you're at. Look where you've achieved by doing nothing, maybe with just a little work. You won't have to go out and have somebody tell you what you're worth, what to do, when to do it, where to go, and when they tell you to, and find out what your really net worth is and enjoy life a little bit more. So, I mean, that's all I had to say.
Yep. Star 6, who's next?
My friends here, this is Rick. I'm going to bring you guys back a little bit down to a few little things here. You got to be patient with people. with yourself. You know, some people will, some people won't. So what? Somewhere, somehow, someone else will. You know, you have to be patient with people. It's not everybody you want in your business. Not everybody you want coming into your home around your kids. I'm looking for people in my business who I believe I can have them around my house, around my family. When you go out looking for people, your concern is not to find people who are not yet ready. It's not your proselytizing, converting people to join your business and dooming them because they don't get in your business or they don't have the mind ready. Because a lot of you on this line been employees before. You didn't have the mind ready. So be careful when you go talking about other people where their mind is, because your minds weren't at that place at that time. Someone asked a question the other day about when to be ready. You're going to be ready when you are ready to do what you need to do. Somebody cannot tell you how to be ready. You will know when you're ready. It's not something that somebody can teach you. You have to want it and feel it so badly in your heart, you're willing to do anything. You don't need to ask anybody that question. You're going to know when you're ready. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and decided that, hey, I got everything I need to succeed. I deserve better. Simply because I decided that I deserve better. Humble yourselves about this. You need to remind yourself about this very principle because you're going to get what you focus on. I don't run into these people. I'm not out there as often as a lot of guys on the phone. I have another business, a business I've been running for 20-odd years. But what I want to tell you is this. The numbers, like Jim Rohn says, don't change, only the faces. That 2% is what you got to sift through every day and recognize that the majority of the people you're going to run in are not going to have that mentality, that mindset, or else they probably wouldn't be looking for you. If they already had that mindset, their probably chances are they would already be doing something. So keep that in the back of your mind while you're out there, knowing that that's the majority of people you're going to run into. But let them be. You don't need to be concerned about those people. I had to bring it to you guys on this phone call because I've heard it many times on this call. I don't know if it's my place to say it, but I felt like all you guys on this call are like family. A mastermind group. We're sharing ideas. That's the most powerful thing we can do. So I think you can understand. Right back to you, Paul.
Appreciate those thoughts, Rick. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul Todd again, Baltimore.
Go ahead,
I want to segue on what Rick just said, which were very, very profound words, Rick, my friend. Very, very great mindset that you have. And, you know, the majority of people that you run into won't have the mindset needed to achieve success. And, you know, it reminds me of the lesson that I was taught many years ago by my mentor, my older mentor in this business. And that was, you know, in this business is like mining gold. And when he first brought this up on stage, he would say, you know, what do we have to go through to find gold? And everybody had all these answers about what we do to mine gold. And he said, put yourself in the mindset of a miner. You know, what are you mining through to get to gold? And it really was amazing, such a simple answer. Nobody could come up with it. And he just looked, and there was a group of probably 7,000 of us out in the audience, and nobody could come up with a simple answer. What are we mining through to get to gold? It's the same thing that we go through mining, looking for associates in our business. And this is the same parallel to mining gold. Is we go through, and if you think now of a gold mine, you can picture one. Go look at one on the internet. It's right there in front of you. We mine through a lot of dirt to get a gold nugget. And the only problem with dirt is you can't spend dirt. We can only spend gold. And that is a very simple lesson in our business, is you have to go through a lot of dirt. A lot of folks, you know, I was talking to a gentleman just the other day that said, you know, Todd, I'm going through a lot of people, and I haven't found anybody yet. And I said, that's okay. Keep going through a lot of people. You're eventually going to see somebody that sees this business. Can't say the wrong thing to the right person. Can't say the right thing to the wrong person. The people are going to see this business. You just can't go through two or three people. You can't shuck an oyster and open it up and not see a pearl and take that oyster shell and put it back together again and slip it between your legs and pray to God that a pearl grows. That's just not going to happen. You just have to shuck a lot of oysters to get to your pearl. So back to you, Paul.
Great, great, great stuff. The only problem with dirt is that you can't spend it. Never thought of that before. That's so true. Star 6, who's next? We have a few minutes left here. I know there's someone out there who hasn't spoken that wants to say something. Let's see. I heard, who was that? Someone from Tennessee, and then I think I also heard Cindy. I'm not sure if they're the same person or not.
Hello, Dennis from Austin, Texas.
Okay, Dennis, hold for just one moment. The lady, I think, was right ahead of you. Who is that?
It's Linda from Tennessee.
Linda, go ahead, Linda.
Hi, good morning. Well, I've been listening and taking it all in, and you're so good with words, but all I want to say is that last remark of Todd's, that you have to go through a lot of dirt to find the gold. I think that is something I will keep in my mind because I get a bit despondent sometimes, as I think Marty knows, and Todd probably is meaning me as one of the people that maybe should need a better mindset, and I'm trying very hard to get that mindset. And I think that was very, very true. You have to just wait and go to a lot of people, a lot of things in life as well, to find the pearls in life, and I think that's very true. And thank you for those words, Todd. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Linda. And we all need a better mindset. That's why we're all on this call every day. We're all in that category where we need to improve and keep ourselves moving forward. So you are in good company, my friend. Was there another lady that was coming out with Linda? Cindy,
I
thought.
Lindy.
Lindy, and then Dennis. Go ahead.
Just a quick thought that I haven't heard mentioned is the 80-20 rule, and that is that 80% of your outcome is going to come from 20% of your input. And the 80-20 rule works in all of aspects of our life. So don't expect everybody to see the light, to jump on, and even the 20% that do see the light, only 20% of them are actually going to take action and do anything. So it's a numbers game. Just work the numbers, and you can succeed. That's all.
Great, great point, Lindy. Thank you. And then Dennis, was that right, the gentleman?
Hey, Dennis. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, doing well.
I just want to say thanks a lot. Actually, a couple that I've met on the internet since I moved down to Austin told me about the call, and I started it actually yesterday morning was the first full call, and I just wanted to say, you know, thanks a lot. It's helped me push everything along in the right direction and, you know, going along with the, you know, getting caught up in the book, and we're really going to work wonders. So I just wanted to say thanks a lot for this.
Our pleasure, Dennis. Thanks for joining us and being a part of what we're doing, and really looking forward to hearing more from you as we move forward.
All right. Great. Thanks a lot. You have a great day.
You too. Anyone else? Final comment here? Alrighty. Well, hey, listen, it has been a wonderful call. I thank you for inspiring me and lift me up and getting me excited about life today. Let's go forward, ladies and gentlemen. Let us be practitioners of Think and Grow Rich. And it's always thanks to Todd Young for that great word, practitioners of Think and Grow Rich. What does that mean? It means we dream, we don't let dreams die, we cultivate the skill to dream, we practice visualization and seeing a brighter future, we formulate plans, we take action on those plans, and we never, ever quit. We keep mining, we keep moving forward, we recognize apparent defeat as temporary setback, and we kick it right out of our path, and we keep moving forward. So grateful to be counted in this class of you who are practitioners of Think and Grow Rich. Let's get out there and make it one of the best days of our lives. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.